Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello, everyone. This is the interview queen, Alicia Too.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw. And the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot to the thunder, Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening.
You are listening to
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the monstrous Henry Grodd. How are you doing, even Henry?
Oh, just fine, thanks. I've ruined that introduction now. Monstrously civil.
Yeah, I found you could be online. You're called the unhappy Henry Grodd and you're called the monstrous Henry Grodd. And I was like, oh, I went with the monstrous. So a huge thanks for joining us this evening. So before we get into a bit of your career, I just wanted to, who are some of your favourite wrestlers growing up?
Other than me, this is the fun one. So growing up, I only really watched WCW on Channel 5. I think Nitro it was on.
And yes.
I would see WWF, but I didn't have cable, so we'd watch videotapes. And also, this is a sign of the times, I wasn't allowed to watch WWF because it was too violent. But my mum... you have to remember, the Attitude Era was, you know... I'm 31, so like when I was a kid, that was the perception of WWF, that it was not for children, you couldn't watch it. It's weird to think that. Oh yeah, I'm rambling. So that's for me, my two favourite guys, and this will explain me, were Goldberg and Sting. And a bit later on, I really liked Vampiro as well. So those, but if I were to say two, definitely Goldberg and Sting were my big, like they left the most impression on me.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I'd stopped watching. I'm 38, so I'd stopped watching around then. I discovered girls and beer and rock music and stopped watching.
I still haven't discovered those things.
So yeah, I'd stopped. I didn't see it. I missed the whole Attitude Era, so I didn't watch any WCW. I went back and watched it now, but I wasn't around for it. Occasionally, I'd put it on hungover on a Sunday and I'd watch it in bed.
Just weird, because if you watch WCW stuff like, it ain't family friendly. It's worse than the Attitude Era. Like,
oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
like in terms of what they're doing. Like, I thought, like, what? It's just strange. I still remember because I think like Channel 5 would show what I now guess was like a highlight. I'm not really unsure what even the fuck. All these years later, what the fuck it was. I was kind of swears.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's good. Too late. what I was even watching because I just remember stuff. But I remember. The Vampiro pulling, was it when his feud with Sting? And I remember all the blacks re-emerging from the ring covered in blood and other stuff. And like
just, a graveyard match as well.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that, but I don't remember that as a kid. But I remember the thing. But this is kind of it though. The reason I remember Goldberg so much, I remember the entrance, and that was like 99, maybe even by 2000. So it was. After his, in hindsight, I now know that was after his big push, because I don't think Five was showing WCW at that point. But like the NWO were obviously still going, but that's because they were probably in their like fifth incarnation by that point. The Wolfpack was a thing. And the big thing, the reason I was a WCW fan was also because of the video games for PlayStation 1.
Yes.
I can't even remember which one it is. My friend had it. I used to play a lot with him where the intro was Goldberg being created in a lab. And he bossed out. I think the gimmick of that one was that you could fight backstage in the crowd, which you couldn't do in any other game. But we didn't. It was the little things that really made us happy.
Backstage Assault or the one before that?
I think it was Backstage Assault.
Yeah.
But they had all of my favorites, and WCW had more interesting characters for me because I love the original Le Parker. I thought he was great. I call it, to me, he's the new Le Parker, even though he's been doing it for like 20 plus years. When he died, I became, which is very sad, I became very, very, I thought it was the original. Like a lot of people made that mistake. I didn't even realize that there'd been a shift, that there was a different Le Parker.
Triple A when LA Park.
Yes, that's right.
He didn't want to. He didn't want to wrestle for Triple A anymore. But they.
The Park was such often own the names to things, don't they?
It's such a popular character. They're like, well, we wanted LA Park. We wanted La Park in our company, so they just made another guy La Park.
Well, it's interesting. They did that. I looked it up. I got curious enough to look it up because because I'm big on characters and stuff and how a company can indeed own a character. And I mean, WWE did it with Sin Cara. You know, they just said, fuck you, put a mask on the other guy. You're Sin Cara. And it goes back. It's interesting how you can get away with that. I mean, they tried to do that with hilariously, tone deafly, tried to do that with Razor and Diesel. Where they're like, yeah, we'll just get some other guys. It's fine. And it tanked. I think one of them was like Glenn Jacobs dressed in what let's go home.
You could see him just with Doink. Those were the six Doinks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I think there's a certain degree we can get away with it, particularly if it's a masked character. Because ultimately, if a character is just a costume and just a look, without diminishing anyone's performances, anyone could play that. If the character is more than that, and it is about... charisma and things like that, I think then it can get, you can tell when it's a different person, but even if they're silent, like, you know, but this is the stuff I'm into, because it's why I think character's important, because, you know, I'm not really so much a fan of the acrobatic side of things. I you know, my favorite bit of most wrestling matches, particularly the ones I'm in, the entrance.
That's my favorite. So what prompted you to get in the ring in the first place?
This is when I don't give an inspiring story. So I didn't really want to. By the time I started training, I wasn't even really watching wrestling. I hadn't watched it for a long time. I'd been watching a couple of pay-per-views and with my friends. They were like, hey, you want to come and watch this thing? And I thought, I think I'd watch, it was 2012 it would have been. So they were like, the Royal Rumble had been on the night before. And I was in Manchester City Centre doing some work, and they just said, hey, we're at a bar. They showed it from last night. Do you want to come? And I thought, hey, whatever. So for the first hour, my reintroduction to wrestling, having not watched it in a good, probably, let's say, at least 12 years, was Brodus Clay. versus, this is Wright, and he's getting his push as well. Brodus Clay versus Drew McIntyre, and it was a squash match. And I just sat there going, like, what is this? What am I watching? that was me for the first hour.
Funkosaurus
was like, what the hell? And they were so aware of it, my two friends, because they were big wrestling fans. I don't shit on things other people don't like. I just had my drink and I didn't care. But then after a while, like, I started really getting, like, you started to see people that I remembered, like Big Show and stuff like that. And then by the end, I was like, this is amazing. They're flying. Yeah. And like, Sheamus came. I think Sheamus won that Rumble. And I really, really, really enjoyed his work. And then I watched, like, Elimination Chamber the month after, and then Mania. And then we started going to, like, local shows in Manchester, Future Shock shows. Mm-hmm. Going to watch them. And it was, we have a school. And they had an open weekend, and a couple of us were like, whatever, it'll be fun. And then that was that. What happened was... You know, I didn't really have much of a social circle when I moved to Manchester. So no. I met some really cool people, that I'm still very, very close friends with to this day. And that was kind of it. You know, I just kind of kept doing it. And it always became like, I still wouldn't call myself a wrestling fan. You know, I don't watch wrestling for entertainment, if I'm honest. I just don't. But I really enjoy the business and I enjoy doing it. And I sort of discovered that I was actually okay at it, in terms of, like, I know my strengths and my weaknesses, but I was like, there were certain elements of it I took naturally to. There were more elements that I didn't and still don't. Anything involving kind of movement, I'm not really good at, because I'm habitually lazy. But I really enjoy storytelling. So that's something I've got a bit of a acumen for. So it just kind of went from there. There was no goal. It was just, I mean, that open weekend that I went to was like over 7 years ago. So, and whilst that's nothing really in the grand scheme of things, I think, wow, you know, next year will be 8 years, and then it's getting near a decade. And that's actually weirdly the bulk of my adult life. You know what I mean? if I actually think about it.
So as you got into your training, was like Sting and Vampiro and Goldberg who you wanted to kind of mold your style around?
No, because I've been doing MMA and martial arts and stuff in my spare time, and I've got a real love for that. I enjoy watching it. I never, did anything professionally, but I've always enjoyed that stuff and martial arts and watching fights and stuff. So I was going to do, I was going to be like, in my head, I thought I weirdly couldn't, which is strange for what I get booked as now. I really struggle with the acting side of it.
All right.
And selling and stuff like that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do a promo. I couldn't speak. I found it very difficult. But the problem with the same time being able to translate the more quote unquote legit side of wrestling and make it entertaining is a skill in of itself. Because in real life, legit fighting isn't interesting. It's not theatrical. It's small. That's why there's a referee there watching what they do. So to be able to make it big is a skill that I could probably count. I'll be honest, I can count on my hand in this country maybe 5 people that I think can do it well.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people that think they can do it but can't.
MMA bores me to death. I've tried to watch it.
Well, it ultimately, it depends what you're, it's fair enough. It depends what you like. I enjoy it. I enjoy it for various reasons.
I think I've watched two events and they're both headlined by Brock Lesnar, and I think I only watched them because they're headlined by Brock Lesnar.
Oh, dude, those were always interesting to watch because his actual skill is debatable, but his sheer ferocity
just lies on people.
God! When I watched his fight with Couture, who is by all estimations a much better fighter, but is just completely overwhelmed by this behemoth of a human being. I'm a massive mark for Brock Lesnar. they say that technique can outdo power. I disagree to a certain degree. My God, he just runs people over unless they've got the edge. But yeah, it's. So that didn't work. And I was like, shit, what do I do now? And then one day I was just running some drills because I was taught at first by my first year, it was Future Shock. You had Dave Raymer in it and then Zach Gibson taught on Sundays. That's why I'm amazing. I've got a good pedigree. I'm kidding. And Gibson at the time, I think had just done his first WWE tryout. So he was trying to encourage, this is something I never forgot, I'm not the best wrestler in the world, but I know how to work a camera. Because that was something that he was big on teaching. Always have your head up, work the cameras, this, that, and the other, because I think they just drilled it into him at the time. And that's why he's great, because if you watch, like, you're on a journey with him, because he's always kind of included. I think that's the key to it. And one day I'm just running some drills, and I didn't, and I was, we were doing characters, and I couldn't do it. And I literally just started talking like Bane, because from fucking Dark Knight Rises. I started doing the whole thing because I didn't know what else to do. And then I'm kind of a Tom Hardy mark as well. So like I started doing that, and then I struggled with promos for a long time. And, it's only really in the last sort of year and a half that the persona has got to a point where I'm happy with it, because there's been a lot of evolution of my gimmick over the last sort of, six years on shows, which again is nothing, it's blink of an eye, but I've gone through a lot of changes because I wasn't really necessarily given a character when I debuted, like a lot of people that I wanted to do or like.
So what came first, your first match or the gimmick?
So Dave Rain was, and still is, very big on character, so everyone got a character, or at least a persona. So either you thought of your own, or you would not even force you to do anything. But the name Grodd was a nickname that I got asked because I was doing like a wild man character. I was beating my chest and stuff like that. I was a lot heavier, so the gorilla thing's never really gone away.
I was going to ask if you were a fan of Flash growing up as well.
No, it was not my idea. I mean, I know Flash, but it's why even to this day, even though I've moved away from it, the gorilla face is still my logo. But it's that came from Micho. I don't know if you've ever seen Don Micho work. He's sort of semi-retired now, but he started calling me Grodd. Hello?
Hello,
Still there. Sorry, I thought I'd lost you. My phone went weird. He started calling me Grodd, and then then I got called Henry by Dave, and then literally he said he'd just seen, I think, the second Sherlock Holmes movie. I think, because he had like the idea for a, he said he wanted like a, what do you call it, like a Victorian brawler character. So I was like, okay, cool. So my first match wasn't planned. Literally 2 days before it, they said, hey, someone's pulled out. Do you want to wrestle Sonna Dursun in 2 days? I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Great, do you have gear?
They said, do you have gear? And I didn't. And I was like yeah. I have gear. So I was working as a bouncer at the time. So I just thought, I know, I'll wear my doorman pants. They have some give. that's why, actually, you know, and they didn't. They, my pants burst.
Oh, wow.
Like, full on went. So, hey. But, you know, I didn't like the gimmick, but I embraced it. I went out and bought the top hat and sunglasses and all that shit. And then as I was about to go out, they were like, we're going to call you something else. We're going to call you, there's a T. They announced me Henry T. Garrard, and I was going, which I didn't like. I'm going, like, they just said my name wrong. Like, get out there. So I went out.
So the T never meant anything. It was just...
Well, I, again, you know, if you're giving a gimmick, you're wrong with it. For me, yeah. I changed, the T stood for Thelonious. Even though I rarely ever said it, but yeah, I dropped the T fully, like, at the start of back end of last year. I was like, okay, I want that kind of gone. It's the last vest, because over time, the Victorian thing, it turned into steampunk. Started doing like a steampunk gimmick, and then I got put in the tag team, and that's when I started doing the horror movie thing, and I was just kind of the silent big guy, and that slowly but surely evolved into what I'm doing. What I'm doing now, which is kind of, I suppose, just me being myself to a degree, but I know myself and I get very bored. So I wanted the idea was to have a persona where I could do and say and dress essentially however I felt like, and people wouldn't necessarily question it.
No, that's great.
And that's what's happened. Because if you do you could do a crazy man character, because for all the bells and whistles, if people were to ask me to sum up Wash character, you just say crazy person. Everything else is window dressing. And, you know, the what my goal is I remember I watched Wrestle Kingdom in, I think, 2013, 2012. I remember it was the first time I saw Okada. And this is a good example of a showman, because I'd never seen this man wrestle before. I didn't know who he was. He's Japanese, doesn't speak any word of English. By the time he got from the entrance to the ring, I understood his character. Just from his mannerisms and the entrance and the way he dressed and carried himself. I went, oh, rich guy. You know what I mean? It's simple stuff. That's what you want, is the establishment. By the time, if I can, my thing is to not do anything like a wrestler. Like, I don't do promos like a wrestler. This Sunday, you know what I mean? I don't do any of that shit. It's just, one, I don't like doing it, and I don't do my entrance like a wrestler. I kind of wander off and talk to people, or you know what I mean? I don't go straight to the ring. I want him to feel real. I want him to feel like a real person that you could encounter on the street and would be made to feel very uncomfortable by. Unless I'm working babyface, which is something I never thought I'd do. Now I work a lot.
I could never imagine you a babyface. I've only ever seen you in Wrestle Island.
Fair cop, right? Well, no, I mean, it wasn't until last year at Future Shock where I had an organic babyface turn. It wasn't necessarily planned. It just kind of happened.
They're the best turns, though, if you've been a heel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You turn as a cool heel, don't you? So cool that you're doing things.
So. We were partnered up with Crater, and then he turned on one of us, and then I stood there, and the crowd kind of came up, and I took the straps off, unplanned. They really came up, and suddenly I was a babyface. So they had to come, they ran with it. So I'm a face there.
Did you slam it?
No, not that one. We had a subsequent feud over the next sort of 6 months there. Which was really, you know, really fun. I never thought that was challenging as well, because I'd never worked babyface ever, like in a match. I'd never worked face. I actually didn't know how to work face. I had to change my entire kind of structure of how I would do a match and things like that. And, you know, it took me a lot. I'm still not happy clappy. I don't high five people. The character is exactly the same. because the key difference between me as a face and me as a heel, and I had to figure this one out, is I do all the same shit. Like, they knew this at Future Show because they get it. They were still having me, like, shove referees out of the way and stuff like that, shout at people. But it was more, as I'm doing it, I'm engaging with the audience. It's you, it's us against it. I'm even though I'm a bigger, or not big, I'm short, but, like, even though I'm a chunkier guy and I'm often booked as a powerhouse, I still work as an underdog. I'm kind of down a lot. I don't really have a, as they say, I don't have a shine. The start of the match isn't me just paggering them. It's usually them kicking the hell out of me and me keep getting back up. You know, I was told to do that by a few people, like, you should just keep getting up. Like, not no-selling, you fighting back to your feet. And it is amazing how people will get behind you. And they want to see that, particularly if you're established as, like, a heavy hitter. They want to see you get up and, you know, have that guy get his comeuppance. So what they did very cleverly was I was basically spent 6 months doing squash matches to build me up there. And they were very clever in who they put me with, because they put me against characters and workers that were more kind of like your chicken shit heels or your nasty little, you want to see someone beat the hell out of them. Yes. I mean, one of the guys that I go for advice and would speak to about this a lot and just about anything is like T-Bone, because, you know, I just copy him.
He's great, T-Bone. I'm surprised he never gets a bigger shot when he's on the NXT UK. That he's always the stay at a job, basically. But
I probably watched that, but I haven't. It's yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, the way that show is booked is what it is. I don't really know enough about it to have an opinion, but it's I think he's severely underrated.
This Sunday is at TNT Ignition in the main event, so I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, I'll be there. You know,
it's been a while since I've seen him. So.
I'll be down there. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So tell us about your face paint. So do you have a design, like set designs, or do you just...
No, not really. It depends what the gimmick is. Like, different companies will give you different personas and stuff like that, all slightly different. So I'll try and change the design based on what I'm doing. And the makeup started because I was in a tag team called Wonderland and we were set to debut and we didn't know what we were going to do. We hadn't been really been given creative direction about what to do specifically. We were kind of left to our own devices. And we went and watched Mad Max Fury Road at the cinema, like a few, not long before we were set to do it. It was like that. We're going to do that. So I did the makeup from that because it left a mark on me. And yeah, it depends what I'm doing. Like, some companies I don't wear it at all. I do like an 18 plus show where there's a bit more drink being had and people, you know, maybe aren't, they know, you know, and like they know it's not real kind of thing. They just want to chant stuff and have fun. I don't wear makeup there. I don't wear costumes as much because they're not into that. And I'm not going to try and force my product on a crowd that doesn't want it, because then you're kind of in an uphill battle. It's all about, I think, if you are getting booked based on your persona, it's about flexibility, which I had to learn because I was very rigid at one point. I didn't want to change anything. I would never have done a show without makeup. And, you know, I'm Future Shock, they booked me last year, you know, I was the monster hunter. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I started doing more sort of tribal looking paint and stuff like that. You know, no one asks me to, it's just something I like to do. You know, if I'm doing it, I'm doing a thing, Wrestle Island. As soon as I know what the look is there, I've got some shows coming up at other places where I will message them and go, what's the gimmick? And I'm like, just so I can plan my outfit.
Yeah, because when we first saw you, your stuff made your beard a bit more grey, because my girlfriend was really shocked when we saw you in the meeting greet after you, how young you were.
Oh, everyone thinks I'm really old.
She thought you were in your late 40s when she saw you wrestling.
Yeah.
When she saw you backstage, she was like, oh, he's dead young. Because you had the face paint on, you had your grey beard.
I just want my age and stuff to just sort of be ambiguous. Like, you know, like... I want to be like Dracula, like, he's grown young when they see it depends. Like, sometimes I'll see my designs and like I do a thing with the makeup where I like it to be sort of gungy, like, and it makes you look really wrinkly and stuff like that. and the beard, if I paint it white, you know what I mean? I've had that before. People think I'm old because I've had a white beard. I'm like, let's fucking paint it, guys. just because in real life my beard is quite ginger and I don't think that's as intimidating.
You must have had a shower and then in the meeting greet afterwards you had a... you had no face paint on, you had your ginger beard back.
Yeah, rust-coloured.
Shit, here we go.
I get it all the time.
It's a lot younger than I thought he was.
Yeah, everyone thinks.
So you did mention your first match against Sonny Dursun. So take us back to what do you remember about it. In hindsight, did you enjoy it? Was it any good? Or?
What do I remember? Okay. I remember, obviously, my pants ripped. I remember I was confident to do a match by that point, but what we hadn't really covered much, because in fairness, at most schools, you can't cover this, is entrances.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Exactly. Neither did I. I went through the curtain, and I could watch that match back quite happily. In fact, Future Shock last year, my last show with them, I did the main event with Sonner, and they had this whole thing of like 5 years ago, me and him had had this match, and they were showing clips of it compared to what we were doing now and things like that, which I thought was kind of a nice touch. But, you know, they had to do some creative editing around that. But it's the bit I can't watch is the entrance because I look really nervous. I didn't really know what to do. I kind of run to the ring. I remember that, and I remember Sonner. It began the tradition of whenever me and Sonner wrestle, one of us nearly killing the other person, or someone nearly died. Yeah. It's just something that happens. It happened in the last show. What happened was in the last one, he bungled. No, I'm kidding. definitely wasn't my fault. There was a spear on the apron, which I think he was in the wrong position for. The footage may look otherwise, but it may appear that it was my fault, but it definitely, definitely wasn't. but it started that little gimmick, and it was fine. I just again remember my pants ripping.
So do you have a preferred style of wrestler you like to face?
I enjoy high flying smaller guys because that's just a ready-made story, you know. That's an easy story to tell because, you know, big man, little man, or, you know, brawler versus
they look fun just to throw them about.
You have this ready-made story. It's all kind of like you can just creatively get in there and go like, oh, every time they build a momentum, you cut them down. It's easy. And also, I don't have to do anything. The matches, I'll wrestle anyone. I'll work anyone. The matches I don't enjoy personally are big man, big man. I don't like doing them. I find they have tendency to be a bit boring. I also don't like it when big guys start throwing each other about because it just kind of diminishes them at the same time. It's a very, very difficult, it's a surprisingly difficult thing to work. I enjoy with what I do, you know, I enjoy working with technical guys as well because my whole thing is no matter who I'm working with, my stuff remains the same. I'm just going to be here for you. If they can do all their technical stuff, I can get the characters thing because he wouldn't do a hold. If you went for this fancy hold, he would just punch you. So, you know, and that's a ready-made story. You know, again, it's slightly underhanded, and you know, anything where we can engage people with a clash of styles that tells a story and isn't boring, and you can tear it and build. That's the stuff I really like.
So I thought you versus Joe Nelson at Wrestle Island was going to have legs, but that kind of just fizzled out.
You know, it's one of those things where, unfortunately, like, Joe's busy and so am I, Peter. The reason I've not been at Wrestle Island isn't for any particular reason. It's just I was booked elsewhere on a lot of the dates. Yeah. If you want to watch me and Joe Nelson, we have a show at... it's coming up in Tidal at some point. I'll be wrestling him.
I'll have to hopefully put it on there. Is that Leeds Way title?
Leeds Way. I don't know when because I'm doing a six-pack. I'm doing a six-pack challenge there for the next six shows where I will the six dudes and I will wrestle each and every one of them over the next.
Oh,
six
that sounds good. So it's like a league.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a really good selection of guys as well. You got like Sean Only's in it. Dan Evans.
You got announced today. Diablo. Is it?
I've got Dara Diablo in the first round. That's gonna be great because that's again. It's like we're both bigger dudes, but we're both brawlers, so it isn't a move. We can move, you know what I mean? So already I'm like sick. That's been great. Also, I read in the caption said 10-minute time limit, so great. Means I have to great. We have to do 20 minutes. Fantastic. And that's a maximum of 10. I could go to 5 if I really wanted to.
Yeah.
I have my priorities.
Do you watch NWA?
No. I see bits here and there.
They've introduced the television championship, and because they start at 6:05 every week, the time limit is 6 minutes and 5 seconds on each television title match. they're good fast paced matches because they can only go 6 minutes. So it's like,
oh, I like that.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so I've asked the Wrestle Island fan group some questions. So,
okay.
Maza, I'm going to have to ask this guy how to pronounce his name. I'm going to say it wrong every time. Maza Rage Segura asks, are you a people person at the gym?
Fuck no, don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I don't want to be there. I don't enjoy being there.
I hate the gym.
I hate it. I despise it. I have weights at home, but there are some things I just can't do, and I have to go there. It's literally a 5-minute drive from my house, so I go at night.
It's the next building to my work, so I've got no excuse.
I'm not kidding when I say I only go for wrestling. That's it.
So what's on your gym playlist then? If you don't want to talk to me,
I don't listen to music because it's a crutch. No, I don't listen to music because it distracts me, and I will just sit there singing and dancing instead of working out. So I don't. I'm not kidding. So I don't listen to music while I'm in there because I won't work out. I'll just get engrossed in whatever I'm listening to. Because
you listen to Broken But Glorious. So
it's usually. It's usually musicals I listen to, and then that just engrosses me.
Oh, yeah. He also asked dream matches and people you'd want to fight. So.
What dream matches? Oh God, that's a how am I limited to? Because that's a long question. People.
Well, there's somebody else has also asked later. Graham Williams has also asked if you're given a chance to face anybody in the US or UK, so you can. Combine them questions, I guess. So.
Okay. Yeah. I was given the chance to face any. I'll do them separately. Anyone in the UK? Ooh, fuck! I'm regretting this now because I've got to narrow it down to one.
This dream matches.
Do you know what? I'll answer it. If I could have a singles match with anyone, it'd be Michael Whiplash.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
have a hardcore one.
Like, you know, everyone goes, oh, he's, and hardcore is his thing. But you ever seen that guy just have a non-hardcore? That guy, he's amazing. Yeah. And people don't realize. Now, that's the shame, is that people, he's a great deathmatch guy, and he can tell an amazing story in that setting. But I think he's a really good worker in general. So, like, I would love to have a match with him. That would be, because I can't do hardcore. I bruise really easily. Like a peach.
Yeah.
So yeah, from this country, from the UK, definitely Whippy. From the States, that's what I think. Brian Cage. No, ooh, Scott wow. Steiner. Scott Steiner. The Scott Steiner now.
he's coming over to the UK in April for the right, Oliver Wrestling.
Me versus Steiner.
You versus Steiner at the Wrestle Island.
Triple threat. Me, Steiner, and Cage.
Oh wow!
That'd be.
Didn't they have a Steiner versus Cage at one of the WrestleMania shows last year or the year before?
They may have done, but I wasn't in it, so it wouldn't be as good. Because I'd be like every man. I'd be like the eyes for the audience because I'm just a guy.
Graham Williams asks, any clue who? You will bring to Wrestle Island's next show?
He says, yes, I know exactly who I'm bringing, but I'm not going to tell you that because then that would be a massive spoiler, wouldn't it? What a silly question. Sorry.
Okay, he also asked, who's been your toughest opponent?
Okay, now, do you mean, like, who's, like, the stiffest or who was, like, just shit? Like, like really bad, like, maybe want to not wrestle anymore. My toughest opponent, because this is a kayfabe question, right?
In kayfabe, and then if you want to tell me who's trash.
Toughest opponent in both senses of the word, I'm going to go with Sonny Dursun. Because he's just a machine, and he's, people know he's good, but they don't understand how good he is, because like he can, you know, he can do like a 20-25 minute main. He can go toe to toe with Pac. We did ours, and it was 20-25 minutes.
Oh wow.
And I've wrestled some lot. Me and Bone did like 30-35 minutes last year. It's horrible. I wanted to die. Got outside of my car, been clamped. It was amazing. But Sonna, like, you wrestle a long match with someone, you get backstage, and then you're both gassed. Sonna's not gassed. He's fine. Because he'll do it, and then he'll do a big promo in the ring, and I'm in the corner like, the EMTs give me oxygen. He's just cutting this promo on me and putting me over. That was a hard fought victory. I'm going like, why aren't you tired? But you're also, but at the same time, he is shit. just really dangerous, because sometimes he's supposed to feed for moves, and it makes it look like you've done it wrong, but that's not what happened.
I'm really excited to finally see him live. I've seen him videos, I've never seen him live before.
He's great.
Headlined this weekend. Yeah. So
I'm there. I might do a run in, just attack him. So he's both my favorite person to wrestle and least favorite person to wrestle, because he's also really handsome and in great shape. So I just finished the match feeling really bad about myself, to be honest, but also good, because you know you've had a fucking sick match.
Yeah.
but on a personal level, I just need to go outside and look at the moon.
You are listening to Broken But Glorious with Henry Grodd, and nobody hates better than me.
I've asked this to a couple of people, so it's always an interesting answer. So if aliens invaded...
Okay, we're a good start.
So if let's say they're predator, like Klingon type aliens, rather than Mac and me, ET type aliens, so, and they challenge the Earth to a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match. You've been selected as captain of Earth's team. Which other three wrestlers would you pick to represent the Earth?
Wrestling Klingons.
Klingon predator type animal.
Kapla. I'm a massive Trek fan. okay. Honestly,
I can't wait to watch Picard.
You know what? I've tried it. I don't. It's a great. It's weird. It's a great show, but it's not Star Trek for me. I know my Star Trek's dead. It's never coming back. Anyway, so I'm getting. But it's still, I'm rewatching DS9 on Netflix again for the 50th time.
They had the Next Generation on the Horror Channel for a while.
Yeah, they did.
I was enjoying watching that again, but it stopped.
Yeah, it was because Netflix has acquired it all now.
So
I can just watch it. But anyway, okay, do they have to be, like, I'm just going to keep it guys in my circle. To fight the Klingons, obviously, like, vice captain would have to be Sonny Dursun, because he'd make me look good. Sonny Dursun, I'd bring Don Meacho out of retirement just for this one. Because he'd get it. I'd also have Holly Barlow on there. Because intergender man. And then finally, who else would I have? Let's have a think. I'd probably have T-Bone.
Yes.
That's a Warriors team. It's four, isn't it? Yeah, have I chose more than four? I guess Sonner out of there.
It depends whether you're in the team or you're just captain in the team.
So. Oh, no, I'm in the team.
Yeah.
I got really defensive. Okay,
we can do 5-on-5.
I'm not Paul Heyman. I'm not going to be at the ringside. No, dude. I'm in the... Yeah, so get rid of Sonner, because he gets enough... He can be in the main. That's his thing. of this hypothetical card. He can wrestle the Klingon Chancellor in the main. He can wrestle Gowron. I love Martok and the boys. Bokpra. God, I'm thinking about that now. You know what, man? If I could do like a Klingon look for the gimmick, I fucking would. Like, I really would.
It'll be easy to do like a 60s Klingon, whatever you could do.
I'm talking like the closest I want to do is maybe like General Chang from Undiscovered Country, which is Christopher Plummer, because he's the only bald Klingon I'd ever seen, and he has the little like eye patch bolted into his face. I love that. So I'm getting off track here, but I love that in the Undiscovered Country they hired all these like classical trained British and Canadian Shakespearean actors to play all the Klingons. I think it's great as a nice little touch. Like David Warner's playing the fucking Chancellor.
Yeah.
it's just one odd choice, but it's great. Yeah, I will do that. But yeah, that's
not seen it for years.
Oh god, dude, rewatch. I've got it on Blu-ray. I rewatched it with my dad over Christmas. It's such a good movie. Like that's the good thing about the original series Star Trek films, apart from the first one. You can just watch them like.
Is Undiscovered Country the one that came out in about 97, 98?
No, Undiscovered Country came out in 1990, I want to say, and it was the last one with Kirk and the boys. It was the last one with them.
I know what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, well, the gimmick there is that, like, it's obviously like the Cold War, so the wall had just gone down. So in this, the Klingons have been antagonists since the TV show. Now they are asking for peace, and it's a whodunit. They have a bit of a meeting, and someone's assassinated, and it's a great sci-fi movie. And what a wonderful era of cinema where you could have a big epic sci-fi movie about middle-aged people, because they're all like, you know, that wouldn't happen now. No. And the main characters, it's just Spock, Bones and Kirk, three middle-aged dudes just being mates. You'd never get that now. They'd have to insert a girl because they'd get a case of the not gays. They did it with the Star Trek, the fucking Star Trek reboot movies, which I do actually like the first one, but I noticed that Bones has kind of been pushed out and they stuck Uhura in there because I'm like, someone was like, we can't have it be about these three dudes. That would be, someone might think they're gay. Like, it's just about friendship in space, guys.
Yeah.
We're on a Star Trek.
It was Generations, the one I was thinking about.
You know, I loved that as a kid, but if the problem I have with the next-gen movies are not good because, like, it's weird because First Contact is a great... First Contact, the one after, is a great sci-fi movie, an action film. The problem with it is they're trying to do an action movie with, again, middle-aged people.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, Patrick Stewart's, like, swinging from roofs. I'm like, no. No, as a kid, I thought it was amazing. I mean, don't get me wrong, Worf has some badass moments, you know, assimilate this and things like that. They're on the roof, they're walking on the outside of the ship, and Worf pulls his sword out. He brought that with him. I love is over those movies as well, dude, for finishing this, is you watch them, the reasons for Worf being there get increasingly nonsensical.
Yeah.
So in the first movie, he's written out that they have him. Because then he appeared in DS9. The next one, Earth's Under Attack, so the Defiant's there. Of course, Worf's there. The next movie, he's at... I think he's on a conference, so he's just on their ship. And the one after, he's at Troy and fucking Riker's wedding, which just stays with him for the adventure. Yeah. How does Starfleet work? Like, he's just there. Oh. Yeah, I like Star Trek.
Should we get back to wrestling?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, should we finish on? So, what's the best advice you'll give to somebody wanting to get into the business?
Let's have a think. Look after yourself. Like, and when I say that, I mean physically, but also make myself uncomfortable. Your mental well-being, because we love this stuff and it's great, but it's not worth feeling bad over.
No.
Anything you get passionate about can sometimes, I know this for a fact, make you feel bad. And there are some people in the business that will exploit that. So just watch yourself and look after yourself and just try and have fun. Because if we're not having fun, what's the point?
Yes, definitely. That's some great advice. So where can people see you in the near future then? So with mentioned Tidal.
What have I got? I've got Tidal. I don't know the dates. I got over the next couple of months. I got Tidal and Full Tilt over Newcastle. I'm getting about. I'm like herpes. Where am I? I'm at Britannia again. It's a good year. I'm returning to a few places I've not been at in a while. Britannia.
Are you in the Ireland Rumble?
Yeah, you know what? They released that promo on Christmas Day. Why not? Yeah, I'm in the Ireland Rumble.
Yeah.
They might as well. I'm gonna be doing TNT at some point soon-ish. no spoilers on dates or what's happening and stuff, but I'm going to be there. Future Shock, I should imagine I'll be back at some point. What else? I do have things happening. Yes, I have a lot of shows coming up, so it's good. It's all fun. I really should know them, shouldn't I? But I don't. but yeah, immediately at the end of the month, you've got Tidal, which I believe is Friday the 28th. Yeah, there's a fair few shows that I'm not professional enough to memorize the dates for.
Wrestle Island is the 23rd.
23rd, thank you. Yes, it is, because Tidal is the Friday and that is the Sunday. So there we go. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Cool. So do you want to promote your social media before we go?
Yeah, sure.
People can go there if they want to find out where you're going to be.
No worries, man. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use it that much. So, and that's just capitals Henry Grodd. I'm on Instagram, which I use a lot more, which is just henry.grodd, lowercase. I have a Facebook page, but I don't update it.
It's been updated since 2018, I think.
I haven't updated it in like 2 years. Well, I moved to Instagram. You know, it just honestly, I get more work through Instagram than anything else.
Something that, yeah, people keep telling me to get onto Instagram, but I don't know how it'll help the podcast.
I will say this for you, man. I resisted it for a long time. I got Instagram because Leanne Marie told me to get Instagram. And I, she may have even made the account for me. I can't remember. So how I ended up on Facebook, someone else made it for me because I'm a time traveler, like a caveman. And honestly, it's particularly for if you were advertising a product, because I don't market myself like a wrestler. I market myself as a character. You know what I mean? Hey, here's my thing. It really, in the world we live in, people don't have time anymore to just watch your shit, that they want a quick summary of what you're doing because of a kind of disposable society, man. You know, you got to roll with it, but I do recommend it. You know, I think it can't hurt. It can't hurt.
I don't know how, if you can't put links on it, I don't know what the point of for a podcast would be.
For example, like, you know, I don't know, if you had another episode coming up, you can put a link in, like, the description. You upload a picture, say, hey, here's the... You just, in the description, put a link at the bottom.
Okay.
That's your link. Likewise, if you go on the Instagram story and you put a picture of you, and you can literally type in, for your story for the next 24 hours, a link to that particular episode. So it can be done. I'm not technical. I've learned how to do this myself. So it's pretty handy. It's pretty nifty, particularly for like selling merch and, you know, stuff like that, and getting stuff out there. I do recommend it.
Do you have a merch store you want to promote, or do you just take stuff?
The way it is right now, people just message me, and if they want a shirt, the chances are I'm going to see them at a show. I'm not at the point, you know, where I'm. So I'm not big money grod yet. You know, people. I'll just talk to you, and if you know, I do post shirts out on occasion myself, but 9 times out of 10, I'm probably just going to see a cat at a show, and I can just, you know, get the money off them or whatever, and then give it to them. We're all, it's only a small community, right? We're in the grand scheme of things.
And how much did you sell your t-shirts for? Okay, so I want to buy one.
I've got the new ones coming out. I'm probably going to flog those for like £20. I've still got like 20 of the old ones to get rid of, though, and I'm going to be. Those are going to be slashed in prices to like a fiver or a tenner, probably. We'll see what happens. I haven't decided yet, but I've got new merch.
If you have an extra five,
I've got new merch in the works that hopefully should be, because I had my last merch, I'd just gone kind of solo and I didn't really know what I was going to be doing. So it's kind of a generic t-shirt with my logo on. This one, I now know who I am, kind of thing in the ring. So it's a much bit more elaborate design and stuff like that with me on it. So so that'd be pretty sick. So yeah, man, we'll hook a brother up, you know.
All right, so I'll put all links to your social media in the description below the interview. So I really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future. So.
Oh, all right, man. So.